Moments of Discovery, Superconductivity.
I'm Charlie Slichter. Before you hear Bob Schrieffer tell about some of the highlights of the work he did with John Bardeen and Leon Cooper, work that led to an explanation of superconductivity, I want to tell you a bit about superconductivity and why their achievement was one of the major scientific events of the 20th century. First of all, what is superconductivity? It's an absolutely remarkable experimental phenomenon discovered in 1911 by a student working with the famous Dutch scientist Carmeling Onnes. Carmeling Onnes pioneered work at very low temperatures, temperatures just a few degrees above the absolute zero of temperature. He succeeded in reaching temperatures much colder than anyone before him, and thus opened a new frontier for science, a field of science previously unexplored, the field of low-temperature physics. He and his students set to work to study what happened to various properties of materials when they were that cold. One of his students was studying the electrical resistance of wires. He found that as he cooled mercury wire, the electrical resistance of the wire took a precipitous drop when he got to about 3.6 degrees above absolute zero. The drop was enormous. The resistance became at least 20,000 times smaller. The drop took place over a temperature interval too small for them to measure. As far as they could tell, the electrical resistance completely vanished. To test for the complete vanishing of the electrical resistance, Carmeling Onnes devised an ingenious experiment. He took a closed circle of mercury wire and caused a current to flow around the circle. With his experimental arrangement, one would expect ordinarily that resistance would cause the current to die out quickly, much as friction and air resistance cause a bicycle coasting on a level road to come to a stop. He found that for a loop of mercury wire, the current, once started, would persist for as long as the wire was kept cold. The persistence of the electrical current in the circuit is a kind of perpetual motion. It's a totally startling phenomenon for physicists. Physicists understand quite well why an ordinary metal resisted the flow of electric current, why, so to speak, the electrons experienced friction in flowing through a conductor. Yet something must go wrong with those ideas when the metal becomes superconducting in order to allow the persistent, seemingly frictionless flow of current in the superconductor. The general picture scientists had was that the resistance arises because moving electrons, which are what produce the electric current, from time to time bump into the atoms of the metal and are deflected. Thus, though they may be given an initial motion through the crystal, that motion does not persist. It's like trying to throw a baseball through a grove of trees. It bounces off the trees and comes to rest. The vanishing of electrical resistance seems analogous to requiring that the grove of trees vanish. And explaining superconductivity is like explaining why the grove appears to vanish. Remember, it's not fair for a physicist to take magic as a reason. The fact is that below a certain temperature, many metals enter into a new state of matter, the superconducting state. Just suppose you knew water only as a liquid. How curious you'd be when you discovered its transition into a new state of matter, ice. You can well imagine that the explanation of this phenomenon of persistent current challenged the very best theoretical minds. Yet superconductivity remained an enigma for decades. Many of the world's greatest scientists tried to solve the mystery of the perpetual motion, but without success. At least five Nobel Prize winners. John Bardeen tried unsuccessfully shortly after finishing graduate school. Even while working on semiconductors and sharing in the discovery of the transistor, the challenge of superconductivity kept nagging at him in the back of his mind. It was in the early 1950s when John Bardeen decided to work again on the problem of superconductivity. By then, some more clues had been found, but I won't explain them since it would take too long. But all those scientists had accumulated a number of facts about the new state of matter. No one had been able to put it all together and provide a theoretical explanation for it. I have to count it as one of the luckiest things in my life that I happen to be working as an experimenter in the field of superconductivity here at the University of Illinois back in 1955 to 57, just at the time that Bardeen, Cooper, and Schrieffer were working on the explanation of superconductivity. Bardeen's theoretical work in the early 1950s had stimulated my student Chuck Hebel and me to undertake a new kind of experiment on superconductivity. Our results were surprising, and we'd been to John to talk about them. And then, one day, early in 1957, John Bardeen stopped me in the hall of the physics building, and it was clear he wanted to talk. He seemed to stand there almost for hours before he spoke. He's a quiet and a modest man. And then he said, "Well, I think we finally figured out superconductivity." This was one of the great scientific announcements of the century. I may have been the first person, apart from the three of them, to know they'd actually solved it. You can imagine how excited I was. I'd like to tell you just a few things about this trio that cracked the problem of superconductivity. John Bardeen came to Illinois in the early 1950s from Bell Laboratories, where he, Walter Bratton, and William Shockley invented the transistor. By the way, these three men won the Nobel Prize for that invention in 1956, and in Bob Schrieffer's tape, you'll notice he refers to Bardeen going off to Stockholm to receive the prize in the midst of the work on superconductivity. Bardeen was jointly a professor of physics and a professor of electrical engineering at the University of Illinois at Urbana. Leon Cooper had recently completed his PhD in a totally different area of physics, and in the process, he'd learned a set of mathematical techniques for what is called quantum field theory. He'd become quite expert in this and was viewed as one of the best young men in that general area. Bardeen felt it might be important to know these techniques in order to tackle the problem of superconductivity, so he invited Cooper to come to Urbana from the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. You could say Bardeen called in a quantum mechanic from the East. As for Bob Schrieffer, he was at the University of Illinois as a graduate student. He had completed his undergraduate studies at MIT, working in a group of solid-state physicists. When he reached graduation time, he decided that the man he'd most like to do his graduate work with was John Bardeen. Now, the first major breakthrough this trio made in superconductivity came from Leon Cooper. Scientists often crack a tough problem by judiciously unraveling one part of the mystery at a time. Here's where the role of judgment and physical intuition is paramount. You've got to decide which piece to tackle. Experiments on thermal conductivity and heat capacity had shown that superconductors had what is known as an energy gap. Bardeen's own work had shown that if one could understand why there was an energy gap, one would most likely be close to the heart of the explanation of superconductivity. Cooper set about trying to explain the existence of the energy gap. He simplified the problem as much as possible, trying to explain just that one conclusion. Cooper said, "Let's just consider the interaction of two electrons with one another and how that interaction would affect things like the heat capacity." To their delight, he found in his two-electron problem exactly the effect he sought. A key aspect of his results was that when the two electrons had equal but opposite velocities and were spinning in equal but opposite rates, or, as sometimes said, with one spin up and the other spin down, they were highly favorable in producing the desired effect. Such electrons were promptly called Cooper pairs. He published the results of his theory of a pair of electrons in 1956. The trio then felt they were hot on the trail, but they still had lots to do. It's like assembling one of those three-dimensional puzzles. It's often easy to fit two pieces together, but when you try to add the third or the fourth, one of the earlier pieces gets in the way. They knew how to handle any two electrons, but a metal has many more than just two. But within 1 year, they were successful. They understood that a single Cooper pair was unstable. That is, the other electrons in the neighborhood would want to pair off too. At the critical temperature, in their full explanation, the other electrons all do so. And that constitutes the phase transition from a normal metal into a superconductor.